Tonight we'll be discussing how we celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is an unusual holiday. The Greeks didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't really want to kill us. It was a spiritual attack. They had lots of different types of gzeros. Some of them are very understandable and some of them were perplexing. Over the years we've discussed them. Shabbos, they outlawed Shabbos. That makes a lot of sense from their perspective. Bris Milah, that makes a lot of sense. Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, it's not intuitive why they did that, but we discussed that in the past. Another one that was perplexing that we discussed in the past was Kisvu lechem al keren ashor she'en lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Right on the horn of an ox, that essentially there is no such thing as a Jewish God, and we've discussed that one in the past. One of the ones that we haven't discussed in the past, and it's a little indelicate, was that there was a gzera. And the gzera was, any girl who was a besula, the night before she was going to get married, she had to have intimate relations with the Greek hegemon, with the Greek leader, the tafsir. They had different names for him. But whoever was the Greek leader, and there was a Jewish community, before the wedding, the night before the wedding, she would actually have to have relations with the Greek leader. It's a strange edict, but that was one of the edicts. So the Chazal tell us, when you look at this, it's strange. Shabbos, Chodesh, Milah, the shore, this. What was their ultimate goal? What were they trying to accomplish? So Chazal said, if you look at the various edicts, it's hard to understand what they were doing. So what we're going to do is we're going to incorporate it into your tefillah so that you exactly know. And in Mara Mokom number 4, what we're going to be saying tomorrow night, Kesha'am de Malchus Yovan Harshal Amcha Yisrael, what was their goal? What were they trying to do? L'hashkicham Torasecha u'la'avira michukei ritzonecha. All of those edicts were a means to an end. It was part of a more diabolical plot. There was a larger goal at stake. This was a war on Torah and mitzvos. That's what the attack was. I once heard a synopsis that somebody in the Kirov movement had told one of the Bali Tshuva. And he said, if you want to distill down Jewish holidays, it's we sinned, we repented, they wanted to kill us, God forgave us, we were saved, let's eat. That's part of Jewish holidays. Hanukkah is an outlier. If you take a look at Maror Mokom number 5, Ribuy Asudos Shemar Ben Behem Hu Sudas Roshos. The idea of having festive meals on Hanukkah, that's permissible but not required. Shelo Kavum L'mishta V'Simcha. There is no obligation to have a festive meal. There is no Chiyuv Simcha. Normally, when we look at a yontif, there's a chi of simcha, there's a chi of seuda, having a meal, and generally it's understood to be a fleshed meal. Chanukah is different. Where's the chi of simcha? Where's the simcha? Where's the seuda? Where's the beef? None of it. We don't have any of that. How come? As we'll discuss, there is a minhag to have milchiks. There is a minhag to have milchiks. But why would there be an obligation to have a milchig meal when in every other yontif holiday we have an obligation to have a fleishig suda? Why is this holiday different? Whatever. Getting confused. In prior years, we discussed some important questions. Let's revisit them and maybe be able to answer them in a different way. The first question is in Maror Mokom number 6. It's from the Tzlach, the Noda Yehuda, and he says, "Kavanas Yavan Harasha shenit timu kol hashmamim." The Greeks defiled, made tame all of the oil. Ki bevadei lo b'mikra nitmu kol hashmamim. It wasn't happenstance. Ki im shekivnu lakach. They must have gone on a search and destroy or search and be metame mission. It's impossible to believe that they defiled all of the oil, save one flask, without intending to do it. Why? Why target the oil? And sort of looking at the question from another focus, we can look at the same question because it's brought down in two other ways. If in fact everything was sullied and defiled, that means there was no wine, it was tummy. The flour was tummy. That means there were no menachos that could be brought, no flour offerings. There were no nesachim, there were no wine libations. So why is it that the miracle that God made was specifically on the oil and not on the flour or not on the wine? Why was the miracle on the oil? And in Mara Makom number 7, you see at the very end of it, Umadua Nasa Nesa Zed Dafka B'Shemen Lama'or. God could have just as easily made the miracle on something else. Why did he choose to make the miracle on on the oil? Rev Osher Weiss has the same question, just sort of in a flip or a mirror image. He says, why did God make the miracle on the menorah? He could have made the miracle on the Mizbeach. He could have made the miracle on the Shulchan. Why of all the things did he pick the menorah to make the miracle? What's the reason? What's the message? What's the lesson? Also, Rav Osher Weiss points out, and this is in Maror Makom number 8, generally, who are our military leaders? Who are Bnei Yisrael's warriors? Shevet Yehuda. Here, it's not Shevet Yehuda. It's Shevet Levi. It's the Kohanim. And it's not understandable why in this war, and this war in particular, does Shevet Levi go out instead of Shevet Yehuda? In the end of Maror Makom number 8, where it says, Dalad, Nasa Zeh Anes Al Yidei Malchus Beis Chashmonoi, Shelo Hoya Mizer Yehuda Elami Shevet Levi. Why? Why is it different? And then there's, of course, the famous question that has to be discussed every year. It's not the famous question that you think, the 8 versus 7 days, but it's the famous question of Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua tells us that which we know, which is that God doesn't make a miracle for absolutely no reason. Why would God make a miracle for no reason? So he questions, why did God make the miracle on the Pach Shel Shemen? There's a din, gets a little complicated, Toma Hutra B'Tzibur, which means, generally, we have to function in the Beis HaMikdash in complete purity. However, if the majority of Klal Yisrael, or the majority of the Kohanim, or the majority of the things in the Beis HaMikdash are Tamei, so then there's latitude given to us, and we can actually work the Beis HaMikdash, notwithstanding the fact that we're Tamei. And so, if all the oil was Tamei, they didn't need to go look for oil. If you had impure oil, and only impure oil, you could use impure oil. So then why did God make a miracle? God doesn't make miracles for no reason, and clearly here, it seems to be for absolutely no reason. Okay, so those are ancillary questions hopefully we'll get back to. But let's look at our primary question, which was, how come there's no Chiyuv Suda on Chanukah? In Maror Makom number 10, Rav Osher Weiss codifies this question, and he says, B'chol HaChagim, Yesh Mitzvah Shel Simcha U'Mishta. Every holiday has a Chiyuv Simcha and an obligation to have a festive meal. Ma She'ein Kein B'Chanukah, She'ein Bo Ela Halo. We don't have that. V'Hadlokas Aner, we have the menorah, and that's all. V'Hadover Omer Darsheni. And this needs explanation. So the most famous answer, I believe, is offered by the Levush, and it's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. The Levush asked the question, why is Chanukah different than Purim? Why is it on Purim the rabbis instituted a festive meal, a Chiyuv Mishnah, and on Chanukah they did not? And he says, think about it. Purim was a physical threat. We were faced with annihilation, physically. Haman wanted us to be killed. So he said, well, if there's a physical threat and the physical threat is lifted, it seems appropriate that we celebrate in a physical way because we're alive, so we might as well celebrate in a physical way. But Chanukah was not that. Chanukah was merely a spiritual threat. Our lives were not in jeopardy. If we wanted to convert, we could have converted and become Hellenists, then we would have been accepted. There was no risk. It was all about the spirituality. At the time of Haman, you converted, it didn't make a difference. They were going to kill you anyway. So a physical threat lifted, physical celebration. Spiritual threat lifted, spiritual celebration. No need for a physical celebration. So explains the Levush, a beautiful answer. However, the Taz disagrees. And the Taz points out in Maror Makom number 12, it does not make sense to say that. Because what is a greater challenge? Physical threats or spiritual threats? To the Jewish people, spiritual threats are more dire than physical threats. And therefore, the lifting of a spiritual threat deserves to be celebrated even more than the lifting of a physical threat. And that's why he says in 12, Ve'ein ze nachon, what the Levush wrote is incorrect. To ha'perish Rashi b'parshas kiseitze, de gadol amachti asa adam, yoser mehargo. It's worse for them to make us not abide our religion than to kill us. And therefore, the spiritual threat being greater than the physical threat demands a greater celebration, and therefore we should have to celebrate physically with a party. I'm going to make the question a little stronger, but I want to give a little background information. On a regular yontif, there are two psukim in the Torah that seem to contradict themselves. One is Atzeres LaHashem, and one is Atzeres Lachem. Should yontif be, and Chazal understand it, one pasuk is saying, yontif should be celebrated in a spiritual way, and Atzeres Lachem teaches you that yontif should be celebrated in a physical way. You should have parties and food and things along those lines. So how do we reconcile that? So the shita that we hold like is Chatzi Lachem v'Chatzi LaHashem. We go to shul, we have shiurim, we eat a meal, we have some wine, we go for walks, we spend family time. That's the way we paskin. But there's another shita in the Gemara. And that shita in the Gemara says, no, that's not the way you do it. The psukim don't need to be reconciled. They're talking to two different types of people. There's a person who is a physically oriented person. Simcha comes for him from having a good steak and a nice bottle of wine, that type of person. So since there's a mitzvah to have simcha and yontif, so the only way for that person to have simcha is to concentrate on gastronomical pleasures. So that's what he should do, to be makayim the mitzvah. You can't be happy unless you do what makes you happy. That type of person is happy from that. And there's another type of person who's only happy sitting in the base medrash, learning and davening, saying tehillim. That type of person, that's how he should spend his yontif. Either completely engaged in spirituality or completely engaged in gastronomical or physical pleasures. That's how he reconciles the two psukim. Okay, we don't hold like that. But the Gemara then continues on and says, that's only on Pesach and Sukkot. That's only on Pesach and Sukkot. But Shavuos is different. So you would think, if it's the first time you're seeing the Gemara, you would say, no, Shavuos is different. Even he who says that you could be engaged only in physical pleasures, on Shavuos would agree that you have to have some spirituality because it's Torah. And that would be 180 degrees opposite of what the Gemara says. The Gemara says in Maror Makom number 13, Hakol modim ba'atzeres de'be'ina nami lachem. Everybody agrees. Even the shita that says normally on Pesach and Sukkot you can spend the entire time engaged in the pursuit of spiritual pleasures, delights. On Shavuos you have to have a festive meal. Why? My taima yom shenitna torahu. It's the day that you got Torah. Now this needs some explanation. This is not the time. We've done it in the past. Everybody discusses this all the time. Shavuos, we got the Torah. So getting the Torah equals having a seudah, having some physical pleasure. If so, doesn't this essentially happen on Hanukkah? What happened right before Hanukkah? The edicts stopped us from learning and performing the mitzvahs. In a certain sense, Hanukkah is like Shavuos because we didn't get the Torah, but we got back the Torah. We got our ability to perform the mitzvahs. And therefore, if on Shavuos everybody agrees that you have to celebrate with a seuda, with some physical pleasure, shouldn't it be the same on Hanukkah? And that's brought down in Maror Makom number 14 in the last two lines. Din Kain, Yesh Lilmon Mikan, Shigam Al Matan Torah Mitzvos, our ability to get the Torah in Mitzvos, Roy Lismoch Bachil Vashtia. That's what we see from Shavuos. Din Kain, Maishno Hanukkah, Michag Matan Torah Seinu. What's the difference? Hanukkah is very similar to Shavuos in that we got the Torah and our ability to perform the Mitzvos. And we can make the question even stronger. Because Chazal tell us that there's a profound connection between Hanukkah and Shavuos. In Maror Makom number 15 and 16, but Maror Makom number 15 and 16 tell us that whatever day of the week Shavuos fell out on, Hanukkah falls out the same time. Which means that if last Shavuos, except with odd exceptions because of calendar quirks, but that means if last Shavuos was Sunday night, Chanukah will be Sunday night as well. So you see a connection, but the connection is even greater. To understand this, the Bnei Yisrael, I have to explain something to you. Probably not as much to you. When something is created, it shows after 3 months. When a woman gets pregnant, she begins to show after 3 months. Right? I think we all know that. So something that wasn't in existence and starts to come into existence, it can only be perceived after 90 days, after 3 months. Why was the world created, says the Bnei Yisrael? So it says, Bereishis bara Elokim, Bereishis, Bishvil Torah Shenikra Reishis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. Really, the world was created for Torah, and so that the Jews should be able to keep the Torah. When was the world created? So generally, we Paskin, we abide the idea that the world was created in Tishrei. Not really. See, Tishrei was when man was created. Man was created on the Aleph Tishrei, Adam HaRishon. He was born, he sinned, he was judged, he emerged victoriously, and that became Rosh Hashanah forever. That's the sixth day of creation. When was the world created? Chaf Hei Elul. That's when the world was created. Why was the world created? For Torah. What's 3 months later? Chaf Hei Kislev. Chanukah is when the first Chanukah is when Torah began to show into the world. That's when Torah came into the world. And so Chaf Hei Kislev became Mesugal, auspicious day for Torah to become revealed into the world. Amazing, says the Bnei Yisrael in Malkum number 7. V'hinei Bereishis bar Elokim. Why? V'shvil Yisrael shenikru Reishis. U'v'shvil Torah shenikru Reishis. V'hinei Oz b'yom hahu, which is Chaf Hei Elul, that was the day of the creation, shehu yom aleph lebria, v'yomer Elokim, what did God say? Let there be light. Torah is the light of the world. V'hinei kaviyachol b'shloshech hadashim nikra uber. Just like we say that the baby shows in 3 months, al kein yom Chaf Hei Kislev, 3 months later, misugal lehisgalos or haTorah. That's when the or started to show greater. Al kein kviyas hu dafka hascholos haor pirsumei nisa yom Chaf Hei Kislev. It's not coincidental that Chaf Hei Kislev became the time that we overcame the Greeks who wanted to extinguish the light of Torah. And when was our military victory? Chaf Hei Kislev, when Torah started to show in the world. V'hinei tizbonim. Hayavonim harishonim rotzu levatel es Yisrael min haTorah or. They wanted to eradicate the light, extinguish the light. V'hamafli plos hifli chazdo. That's God. The one who does amazing things, did an amazing thing, with tremendous chesed. Lehisgalos or haTorah, biyom ha-masuga leheker gilei or. The Greeks wanted to be mevatel the Torah. That's why on this date, and this date specifically, Hashem brings the military victory of the Maccabees over the Yevonim so that Torah would shine again brightly. So we see that Chanukah, like Shavuos, is a day of Torah coming into the world. It's actually the first day that Torah comes into the world. That's Chanukah. Ultimately, it was accepted by the Jews on Vav Sivan. But there's another connection. Take a look at Ma'ar Mokum number 18. The Magen Avraham points out, Kishem Shechag HaShvuos Huzman Kabbalos Torah Shebechsav. Oh, that was the written law. K'mo Kein Chanukah Huzman Kabbalos Torah Shebal Peh. There's lots to be discussed about this, but Chanukah is universally understood as the Chag of Torah Shebal Peh. There was no more Nevuah. Now starts the period of Torah Shebal Peh. So therefore you see that Chanukah, like Shavuos, is a holiday of Torah, of Kabbalos HaTorah. Parenthetically, he points out, also, Kishem Shekabalos Torah Shebechsav Hi Bechodesh Gimel Michodshei Akayas, just like Torah Shebechsav, Nisan Iyar Sivan is 3 months into the summer, Kumo Kein Kabalos Torah Shebal Pehi Bechafei Kislev Shu Chodesh HaShlishi Michodshei Achorev. It's also the third month of the winter month. So, in any case, think about it now. Chanukah is a holiday of Kabbalos HaTorah. Chanukah is tied to Shavuos. Shavuos, you have an obligation to have Lachem. And the question is, why is it on Chanukah there is no obligation of Lachem? There doesn't seem to be an obligation to have any sort of Mishta. Seems very, very difficult. So because of this, some answers are offered. I'm going to skip the answers. I'm just going to tell you two of them, which are my favorite. And then you can look at it on your own. Answer number one is that, yes, we should have a celebration, but there were Jewish casualties. This war had Jewish casualties. And therefore, Chazal looked at it and said, you know, some Jews fell in the battle, and therefore it's an inappropriate time to have full simcha, so we'll have a more muted celebration, and we won't eat at all. My Rav Yaakov Bergman, Rosh Yeshiva and Shaar HaTorah in the Beis Knesset of Kew Gardens Hills, so he had his own answer based upon something that he had heard from Rav Zelig. Rav Zelig Epstein had said, what do we mean when we say, V'zeidim b'yad oskei sarasecha? Who's that? Asarti gebarim b'yad chaloshim. Who are the zeidim b'yad oskei sarasecha? The zeidim are the people who are mazed, the people who are deliberately walked away from Judaism, the Hellenists, the ones who, I don't want to say converted, the ones who adopted the Greek philosophy. They were Jews. And he gave them over to the Maccabees. What does that mean? So explain Rabbi Bergman, because that means the battle was not just Jew against non-Jew. This was a war that had Jew against Jew. And therefore, says Rabbi Bergman, we don't have a full celebration when Jews are fighting Jews. That we stay back and we stand, we're not going to get drunk, we're not going to get, we should stand back a little bit and have less of a celebration. That's his answer. I think these answers are beautiful, but I don't know that they fully get us to the end line, because in fact, there are shitas in the Rishonim that say you actually have to have simcha. Take a look at Mara Mokum number 23. In the Shelos and Tshuvos of the Maharshal, a Rishon, here is his answer. Mitzvah l'smoach b'chanukah. Oops, there's a chi of simcha. Umishim hachi kari yantif. Wait a second. So if there's a mitzvah of simcha, simcha normally requires a fleishig meal. What happened to the fleishig meal? Genagu lechol gvina al pianes. But there was some sort of miracle, and because of that miracle, the meal changed from fleishig to milchig. Ura'ei sha simchate ma'urava ublula b'simcha satorah. And you should have, the festivity should surround Torah, but he doesn't say why. So this is in his question and answers, the Shelos and Tshuvos. But he has a sefer called the Yam Shel Shlomo in Maror Mokum number 24, where he clarifies or amplifies his position. Where he says, in the bold, Va'osim Seuda she'osim bimei Chanukah, Nira she'heim Seudas Mitzvah. They are in fact a mitzvah. V'lo kidivrei Maram she'posek she'heim Seudas Rishos. Not like the Mechaber in the Torah who says that it's only a Rishos, it's not mandatory. No, you're supposed to praise God. V'lo l'mishtav v'simcha, that's what they said. He says, no, it's wrong. He says, there is a chiyuv, there is an obligation. She'nagu lechol gvina b'chanukah, why? V'atamhu nami l'pirsumei nisa, it's because to magnify the miracle. L'fi shamrinan b'medrash, because we're said in a medrash, debito shel Yochanan, who's Yochanan? Very good. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, hechila l'rosha oivim gvina, she served him cheese. Somehow this should stay away from cheese, okay? Because it makes you very thirsty. Then she gave him something, wine to drink, v'shikarto, v'chotches rosho, ubarchu kulam, and then all the Greeks ran away. Suspiciously similar to the story of Yael, right? There, she served him a steak, right? Through his head. She served the steak through his head. Here, the head was cut off. Okay, so that's what the Yam Shel Shlomo says. The Rav Yah, don't get confused, The way we paskin is if you forget Al Nisim in Shmona Esrei, you don't go back. If you forget Al Nisim in benching, you don't go back. The Rav Yah disagrees. The Rav Yah is a Rishon, and he says, if you forget did I say Yalav Yola? Did I say Al Nisim? Good. We're talking about Al Nisim. If you forget Al Nisim in Shmona Esrei, you don't go back. But if you forget Al Nisim in benching, you do go back. Astounding. Take a look at 25. Aval bebirchas amazon machzirin oso. Says the Bach, a commentary in Shulchan Aruch. Why? He says, because you have to have a meal and you have to wash at the meal. Ule'inyan halacha nirin divrei Rav Yah nechonim. He's right. Mitam shekosev, deshavi alei chova. We are obligated to have a festive meal. Kaimalon, de yontifu. Chanukah is a yontif. Usudas mitzvahi. It's obligatory. Velo sagi, velo pas. And you have to wash. You have to wash for the bread. Im kein dino le'inyin chazorah bebirchas amazon, like on Shabbos, if you forgot Ritzei, you got to go back. On Yontif, if you get Yalav Yavo, you have to go back. on Hanukkah, if you forget Al HaNisim, you have to go back. So you see, the Rishonim seem to say that there is a Chi of Simcha. There are those Rishonim. How did we paskin? So we already said, the Machaber said, no, it's a Sudas Rishos. He sides with the other Rishonim, and therefore we don't have to go back. The Ramah, however, in Mar Malkum number 27, says, Hagah, the Ramah, the Yeshomrim, some say, Sheyesh Ktsas Mitzvah Beribe Sudos, he hedges, it's not really true. There are that say that it's obligatory, but he says there are some that say there's somewhat of an obligation. Therefore, he says, V'noagin lomer zmiros v'sishpachos v'suda shemar ben behem. When we have those extra meals, we sing and we say God's praises, va'oz, that elevates it, havi sudas mitzvah. So even if there's no obligation to have a sudas mitzvah, but if you praise God during the mitzvah, during the meal, then you've elevated to a sudas mitzvah. Yesh omrim sheyesh lechol gvina b'chanukah. You should have milchigs. Why? Lefi shehanes nasa b'cholav shehechila Yehudis. You've heard of her. Esa oyev. That's what we said before. Who is Yehudis? What did we establish before? The daughter of Yochanan. The Mishnah Berurah says it in 28. He haisa bito shel Yochanan kohen gadol. So her story is why we eat dairy. Where is her story? Learned the Gemara in Shabbos, is it there? No, it's not there. It's not in the primary Midrashim either, but it is discussed by the Rishonim. The halacha generally is that women are putter in mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, time-bound mitzvahs. Chanukah is a time-bound mitzvah. I know, it's only 8 days, and you only light candles at night. But yet, women are obligated in the mitzvah. Purim is a time-bound mitzvah, and yet women are obligated. Why? Does that exception, why does the rule not apply? Why is there an exception? So Chazal tell us, Sha'af hein hayu ba'oso hanes. Sha'af hein hayu ba'oso hanes. They were, so this is a machlokas, how to understand it. Some Rishonim say, Sha'af hein hayu ba'oso hanes, they benefited by the nes. Let's look at Purim. It's easier to understand for the moment. Purim, the edict was every Jew would be killed, man, woman, and child. Well, when there was the miracle and they were saved, they would just, they, women were saved just like, as much as men, and therefore they should participate in it. So Sha'af hein hayu ba'oso hanes means they benefited from the miracle. Others say it's not that they merely benefited from the miracle, but rather they played a pivotal role in bringing the Yeshua and the miracle. Esther was not passive, she played a major role. So af hein hayu ba'oso hanes means they played a major role in it. That's on Purim. And so to on Chanukah with Yehudas. Take a look at Mara Mokum number 30. Perish Reshbam. She'ikar hanes haya al yadon. That they played the pivotal role. The Purim al yaday Esther and the Chanukah al yaday Yehudas. She chopped off his head and everybody left. The Avudrum also says, She'afin hoyu ba'oso hanes hu perish Rashi. The chen perish b'ner Chanukah. She'ikr nes nasa al yidei isha she'shma Yehudas, the woman whose name Yehudas, she'katsasa rosho shel Antiochus. Here, she cut off Antiochus's head. Okay, so we understand why the meal changed, presuming Nisa, to the great event of Yehudas bringing on the miracle of the salvation. But there's a slight problem. The problem is that her story, Yehudas, is not found in any primary source. It's not in the Gemara. It's not in the Midrashim. It's not in the history books. It's not in Sefer Yosipon, and it's not in Sefer Josephus. Those are two different historical accounts. It's not there. Where'd they get it from? So there comes... I can't hear you. Okay, there is Svarim Chitzonim. What is Svarim Chitzonim? Svarim Chitzonim are books that we assume were written by Jews, but when Chazal canonized Tanakh, they left these out. Notwithstanding the fact that they left out these books, they were actually translated by the Greeks. So the Svarim Chitzonim were translated by the Greeks, even though they weren't part of Tanakh. Just coincidental, today I'm sitting in shul, and somebody has a book from my wife's cousin, Rabbi Dr. Schneer Lyman, on the canonization of Tanakh, of which books were in and which books were out, a beautiful little thing that I want to get my hands on now. Ironically, he was reading it during Kriyas HaTorah, which is kind of bizarre, because he's not listening to Kriyas HaTorah, which is in, talking about which stuff got kicked out. It was a little ironic to me. In any case, so some books were in, we have that, that's Tanakh, and some books were out, and these were the books that are kicked out. So if they were kicked out by Chazal, what does that mean? They mean they were kicked out just because they didn't like the authors, or they're not reliable. So therefore, these sources are looked at, but they're looked at very carefully, and their reliability is somewhat suspect. Okay? That's what we say. So people look at it, some people will not look at them at all, other people will look at them, but they understand that they're not the most reliable, we don't trust them completely. The most reliable sefer on Hanukkah is called Sefer Chashmonaim, or you may know it as the Book of Maccabees. There's Maccabees 1, there's Maccabees 2, I'm not going to go on the joke. Okay, there was Maccabees 1, and there's another one. One is more reliable than the other. And this story is not in it. So it's nowhere. And yet, we were told that the Rishonim had it, and the Rishonim tell him, Ah, pain, oh, you boso anes, because of Yehudis, where'd they get it from? So look at the Lashonos in 33 and 34. The Or Cheschaim says, Kamosha Meforish Ba'agada. Which Agada? The Ran says, Bemedrash. But he doesn't tell us which Medrash. Where did they get it? There is no makar, ostensibly. So there is another one of the Svarim Chitzonim. It's called Sefer Yehudis. Bing! That looks like the place to look. Yeah. And it's there. But there are discrepancies. So let me just tell you two discrepancies that exist. First of all, Yehudis is not in this story in Sefer Yehudis. She is not the daughter of Yochanan. She's from Shevet Shimon. Okay. Right? Not so big. More troubling is that even though in this book she cuts off not Antiochus' head but Eliphornis' head, there's no mention of dairy. So there's the story of the cutting off the head, but there's no mention of the dairy component. So Rav Yaakov Emden writes, this story of Yehudis has absolutely no shaychus to Hanukkah. It didn't happen in the period of Hanukkah. Her story, the nes that happened with the Yehudis that we're talking about, happened in Gullus number 1, Gullus Bavel, with Nebuchadnezzar. And Chazal just appended it, attached it to the story of Hanukkah because it was never celebrated. Not surprisingly, people vehemently disagree. But Rav Yaakov Emden is not alone. Take a look at the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan is classic on Halacha. In Maram Mokom number 36, he writes, Va'od behemshech hazman, after Chanukah, nasa neis al yedei Yehudis. There was a miracle by Yehudis. Shehikshisa es ha'oyev cholov, she gave him milk. Va'al smach ze yeish medaktikin lechol gvina b'chanukah, Af shelo hoya ze bizman neis Chanukah. Let me read that again. Af shelo hoya ze bizman neis Chanukah. Wow! It was after the Ben Ish Chai. It's not just going to be the Ashkenazim. The Svardim too. Ben Ish Chai agrees that Yehudis wasn't during the Chanukah time. It was before, according to him. V'neis ze in 37. Yehudis v'neis ze nasa kodem neis ikari shel Chanukah b'kamishonim. Years before. But since the story that happened with Yehudis was also with a Greek king, the Gamhu Hayarotzal Avir Maladas, and he also wasn't such a big fan of the Jews, Lakach Osim Lenezeh, Gam King Zechabimei Chanukah, so it was attached to the Chanukah story, even though it's really not part of the Chanukah story. But the Rishonim said, should I just stop here? But the Rishonim said, it did happen. And the question is, what's their source? So the truth is, there are Midrashim, but the Midrashim are also from the Svarim Chitzonim. So there are Midrashim, but they're not the Midrashim that you're going to find in the Medrash Rabbah. They're Midrashim from the Svarim Chitzonim, which again, as I said, is questionable reliability. And the stories are fascinating and different. And let me summarize one of them. Now let me point out to you, you see they're missing? You see, on your Mara Makomos, you see three or four Mara Makomos, and there's nothing there. That's because they're long stories, and not everybody reads the Svarim Chitzonim. I did. Okay, I read this at least. So I have an addendum if you're so inclined, but let me tell you sort of what the story is. You'll see why. The edict, according to this version, was in effect for 3 years and 8 months. What edict? The edict of that any besula who was getting married had to be delivered the night before her wedding to the hegemon, the Greek leader in that jurisdiction. That's what happened. Until the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol is getting married. The night before, the Jews are getting together, and they're having some sort of big seuda. Everybody's there. It's Yochanan Kohen Gadol's daughter that's getting married in a couple of days, so there was some sort of big party. She comes out stark naked. Stark naked. Yehuda, her brother, wants to have her executed for shaming the family. She stands and looks at him and says, "This embarrasses you. This is what upsets you. And what's going to happen to me tomorrow night doesn't. Be ashamed of yourself." I don't know if she said that, but we'll just ad lib. In another version, she actually said to him, to Yehuda, "Shimon and Levi, there were only two of them, and they stood up for their sister. You have five, and you're not standing up for me?" This challenge sort of woke him up, and he said, "You're right. We're not going to let this go on any longer." So what was his plan? They dress her up in her bridal gown or whatever it is that they would bring her to, in the big chuppah, and a marching band parade. That's the way we would. And everybody who's anybody is escorting her that night to the hegemon, to the Greek general. The hegemon looks out, and he sees the marching band coming, and he says, "Look at how the Jews love me. Look how flattered he was." He said, "Look at them coming to me. They're bringing the daughter of the Kohen Gadol to me with such fanfare. Wow. Invite them in." And they were invited in. And Yehuda takes out his sword, cuts off his head, and killed everyone else there. And that's the story that happens. For those of you who are learning Daf Yomi, last Shabbos, there was a baskol that came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which said, the boys were successful in what they did in Antioch. So this Svar Machitzonim says this was that story. It wasn't the ultimate Greek war. It was this story that was referring to. Interesting. Okay. When the Greek king hears about the Jewish revolt, so he marshals his army and sets siege on Jerusalem. Everybody in Yerushalayim is scared, so they start doing tshuva, and they lock the doors. The Greeks come to the edge of the city, and they're going to attack. And there's a woman in the city. She's an almana. She's an almana whose name is Yehudis. And she says to them, "Let me out." She had a maidservant with her. "Let me out. Maybe the miracle will come because of me. Let me out." They say, "No, you're just going to be a Hellenist. You're a traitor," etc. She said, "Let me out. Let me out." She convinces them somehow. They open the doors. She goes to the Greek king and says, "I need an audience with the Greek king." They take her in. She says, "I am the daughter of Jewish prophets. And they have looked and heard that tomorrow Jerusalem falls to you. You will be successful in your battle." That's what she said. The king had a stargazer, one of his people, who said, "Not going to happen. Not going to happen. The Jews are doing tshuva, which means if you attack them, you will fall to them." Shockingly, he liked her version better than his version. So he said, "Take him, string him up outside Yerushalayim, don't kill him. After Yerushalayim falls to me tomorrow, then I'll kill him. Let him hang there." Okay, and so it was done. The king looked at this woman, apparently she was very beautiful, as described, and he said, "Would you like to marry me?" And her response was, "I am not fit to even marry one of your servants or your soldiers." But she asked, "Why not?" So she said, "But I need to bathe. So therefore, please make a rule now, pass out the law or the commandment that nobody touch the two Jewish women when they're walking around the city so I can go bathe and get ready to marry you." And so he did. He was very excited about the opportunity to marry her. And he got drunk, she came back, and he cut off his head. wrapped it up, and walked through the city without anybody saying anything to her because the edict had gone out to let the two Jewish women go. She comes back to the walls of Jerusalem and says, "Let me in." They said, "No, you're a traitor." She said, "Let me in." "No, you're a traitor." She said, "Look, look what I have. It's the head of the king." They said, "You're a liar. That's not the head of the king." She said, "Ask him." So she pointed to the stargazer, and he's the one that was strung up, and he says, "Well, that's the king." They said, "Then come on in." And then the story is that they looked, and the Greeks saw that they came to the king. The Jews were starting to come out. They looked, and they found the headless body of the king. They got nervous. They started to run, and the war was on, and we destroyed them. That's the story that's in Sefer Yehudas, in the Midrashim, about the story of Yehudas. But note, Yehudas is not the daughter of Yochanan. And again, what's missing?
Cheese,
milk. Clearly, this is what we know at this point. There's a minhag to eat dairy on Hanukkah. But connecting it to the story of Yehudas is murky and tenuous. Did the story even happen on Hanukkah? And if it did happen on Hanukkah, did it involve dairy? Is the story from a different time period? Then why would Chazal append it to Hanukkah? Why? What's driving them? And even if you assume that the story happened on Hanukkah, and even if you assume that it involved milchiks, is milchiks anything more than a mere detail? It just happens to be one of the things that she did to serve him. If the story unfolded in that way, if there's a general rule that you have to have a suda and simcha requires fleishigs, then why would this mere detail that may or may not have happened change the character of the way we celebrate the suda on Hanukkah? That's the question. So when we started the shir, we asked, what was the raison d'etre? What was the point? What was the driving force? What was the ultimate goal of the Greeks? And we said it was a war on Torah. That's the linchpin. And if we understand that, all the dominoes and all the fall and all the questions are resolved. We said that the principal attack of the Goyim and their ultimate goal was to negate our ability to keep the Torah. Says Rav Asher Weiss in Maram Mokum number 43, Shichchas HaTorah hi tachlis magmasam. For us, to forget the Torah and not keep it was their goal. The Hatzalas HaTorah, Haiset Tamsis HaNeis VaYeshua. The whole purpose of the miracle and the salvation was for Torah's sake. Umishum kach min aroi min ahechrech shetshua zu al yidei shevet Levi tavo. It makes sense. The Kohanim are charged with learning and teaching the Torah, and if the whole battle was about Torah, they take the leading role in fighting the war. Skip down the line. Va'alkein siva v'ashem shetovo Yeshua dafka al yedei beis chashmono yakohanim shemishavet Levi hayu and not mishavet Yehuda. This battle was about Torah. Shavet Yehuda, you're our generals, you're our warriors generally, but not today. Now, it's those who were charged with the idea and the responsibility of teaching us Torah. And this is the miracle was on the menorah specifically and not anything else, because the menorah is the symbol of Torah learning. If you take a look at 44, Rav Asher Weiss goes on and he says, V'lo yifola eifo. It's not a pella. Shemikol klei amigdash nasa neis chanukah b'menorah. Why did God make the miracle on the menorah? It's simple. The Mizbeach, the Shulchan, no, the menorah, because Larames, Shetorah, He, Zu, Shahis Basakana, to show us that the whole issue was that Torah was in jeopardy. Ulamana, and because to save our ability to learn Torah, Nasa Nisim Li Yisrael Ben Itzachan Amalchama, the military victory was miraculous, Ubitul Gzeres Hashmad, to negate the fact that we couldn't learn Torah. And he goes on and he says, V'dafka v'shemen shevener. And specifically, not only the menorah, but with oil. Sharei shemen zayis remez l'chachmahi. Shemen represents chachma, which was targeted. And the reason that they targeted the oil, because they symbolically were showing, we're going to defile the oil because Torah is not special. This is just another way to show what their ultimate goal was. And we asked the Pnei Yeshua's question. Wasn't this an unnecessary miracle? Why did God make a miracle that there would be a flask of oil that would last for 8 nights instead of one? It wasn't unnecessary. It was necessary to show us forever what the underpinnings of the war was, what the reason for the war was, and what the reason for the miracle was. By the way, the miracle that we're talking about is the military victory. Masarta Gibarim Biad Chaloshim, etc. We don't think about it in that way, but it was a miracle. It was the war that was the primary miracle. And the miracle of the Pashal Shemen was just to tell us in this answer why God made that miracle, because he wanted to save Torah. And that's why Chazal actually, says Rav Asher Weiss, gave us the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. Why do we have to do the menorah for? Why do we have to commemorate that? Because annually, every year, we have to remind ourselves what was at stake, Torah learning, what the battle was really about, and why God made the miracle. In other words, to understand that the whole point of Chanukah was either to disconnect us from Torah and or to reconnect us from Torah. Rav Asher Weiss adds that this is why the Gedolim urge us to intensify our learning Torah over Chanukah. In 46, he says, "V'lo b'chdi yiziru gedolei adoros laharbos b'torah b'mei Chanukah k'neged gzeres ha'yavonim lashkichim Torah secha." Because the Yavonim wanted us not to learn, so therefore, and that's why they made all of the edicts, that was why God made the miracle, so therefore it stands to reason that we should intensify our learning. Okay, so why is it that we eat dairy on Chanukah and not a fleshed meal? Now let's assume for the moment it has nothing to do with Yehudas, even though it seemed to have something to do with Yehudas. So the Svarim give two answers that I'm going to bring to you, why we eat dairy on Chanukah independent of Yehudas, and essentially for them, the reason that we eat dairy is because Chanukah is so connected to the idea of Torah. So maybe we'll read it, maybe we won't. Let me just tell you what Rav Tzadik says. Rav Tzadik says that Chanukah, as we saw, was a holiday of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh means the oral law. What does the oral law mean? It means it was meant, ideally, to be communicated from father to son, from Rebbe to Talmud, but not to be written down. It means it's intangible. And since Chanukah celebrates Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Torah that is intangible, Chazal didn't institute a physical celebration because it contradicts the very nature of what we're celebrating. We're celebrating on Chanukah Torah Sheba'al Peh. You can't touch it, you can't feel it. And therefore, Chazal never instituted a Chiyuv Su'uda because it's intangible. So you don't celebrate it in a tangible way. So that's why there was no Chiyuv Su'uda. Ah, but the minug arose to have these Su'udos. Where did that happen? Why did it happen? When did it happen? Says Rav Tzadok, eventually Torah had to be written down. The Gemara tells us, Eis lasas l'Hashem yifere Torah secha, that people were forgetting the Torah. So then Chazal said, you know what? Yes, it's Torah Sheba'al Peh should be oral, but now the oral law has to be written down. When it took physical form, so B'nai Yisrael said, so then Chanukah is celebrating Torah Sheba'al Peh that has physical form, so we can celebrate it, we should celebrate it, in a physical way. That's the birth of the minhag to have a Seuda on Chanukah, notwithstanding the fact that originally there was obviously no obligation to have it. But why dairy? So he explains, because Chanukah is similar to Shavuos, we celebrate Torah Shebechsav with a dairy meal on Shavuos, with some eating dairy on Shavuos, so too we celebrate Torah Sheba'al Peh. Why? Because dairy represents milk, and milk is symbolic of mother's milk. A baby nurses mother's milk directly from her mother. And we show, by having milchigs, that our Torah is divine, that we got it directly from Hashem. Just like a baby gets its milk directly from the mother, so too we got our Torah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was true of Torah Shebechsav. And now on Chanukah, when we celebrate Torah Sheba'al Peh, we celebrate with dairy, i.e. milk, to show that our oral law is also divine, that it came directly from our mother, Hashem. That's what he said. Take a look at the Resisei Laila, the Rav Tzadik. Gam kedushas mei Chanukah shehu ha'oras ha'Torah Sheba'al Peh. So now he's explaining in 47, when did this custom arise to have a milchig meal? Nislab sheha'ora gam baguf. All of a sudden, it took a physical format. Va'alkein, when the Torah was written down, Torah Shebal Peh was written down, Hischilu Doros Achronim Linog Simcha Gufanis. We celebrated with a physical meal. Usudos Gamkein. U'mashe Kosov Haminag Lechol Machali Cholov. Who dugmas minig machali chalav b'shvuas? It's because Chanukah is exactly like Shvuas. It celebrates Torah. The Kabbalah's Torah shebaksav, that was Torah shebaksav, but this is Torah shebal peh. Ki hacholav yomkin mishdei ha'ein. You nurse the milk directly from the mother. The ikur Kabbalah's Torah hu lahakir nosein ha'Torah yisbarach shemo. And the whole purpose is to realize that our law is not like the Greeks told us, that it's not divine, it's just an intelligence, no difference, and wisdom, no difference than any of Socrates or Plato. No, it's very different. It's from God. Val derech ze b'chanaka b'torah shebal peh ho ikar hu hakoras hayenika me'ema banim, from the mother of all children, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Originally, there was no Suda on Chanukah because it's all about Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh, again, was intangible. But once it started to be written down, Chazal instituted the idea, the minhag arose, to have a celebration with food. Why milchiks? Because Chanukah is like Shavuos. And just like on Shavuos, we have a milchig meal which symbolically represents the divine nature of our Torah Shebaksav. On Chanukah, we have a milchig meal to show, celebrate and show, symbolize the divine nature of Torah Shebaal Peh. We got it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we have milchiks, because of the Chanukah Shavuos connection. Another reason is offered by the Bnei Yisachar. And he is assuming that the story of Yehudas happened on Chanukah. So then why isn't that good enough? That's why. Just celebrate that Neis. He says, no. Don't be so foolish to think that just because that story of Yehudas actually happened on Chanukah, we're going to have a milchig meal. It's a detail. Who cares? He says, the story of Yehudas happened on Chanukah so that we would have a milchig meal. But the point was having a milchig meal. Why? So he says, because Chanukah is like Shavuos. And on Shavuos we have a milchig meal. Why? So he tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the Shamayim to get the Torah. And the angels start attacking and saying, Ma yulud ish beinenu, why is there a mortal human being? You can't really seriously think that you're going to give him the Torah. You're going to give it to human beings? So Moshe Rabbeinu does this. And he comes up with a mask. And he's now wearing the mask of Avram Avinu. Checkmate. Why? Because the argument that Moshe Rabbeinu articulated was, take a look. You take a look at our little children. After they get the Torah, you're going to tell them, here, you want some milk? He's going to say, I'm fleishig. A little kid knows, I'm fleishig, I have to wait. Because you came to Avram Avinu and you ate basar v'chalav. Avram Avinu gave them milk and meat. Why, says the Bnei Yisachar? To arm Moshe with the argument so that when the angels come and say, how dare you give it to man? How can man keep the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to answer, what? You want it? When you had your opportunity to keep it, you violated something that even our children know is usher. And Moshe Rabbeinu won. So on Shavuos, we have milchiks to show that Avram Avinu placed the argument, set up the argument for Moshe Rabbeinu so that we could win the Torah, so we commemorate the victory by having milchiks and not fleishiks. Right? We don't do that. We have milchiks, and then we have fleishiks, but we have it in a separate meal, or however it is that we do it. So take a look at the Bnei Yisachar in Maror Mokom number 48. He says, Hinei tzirich machali cholav el ben bokar. Why did Avram do it? Bechdei sheyeh l'skula l'bonav l'kabalas haTorah. To ensure that we could win the Torah. Va'al kein l'zecher zeh nogin l'achol machali cholav b'chag Shavuos. That's why there's a dairy meal, to commemorate the fact that we won the Torah because of Avram serving milchigs, inflashigs, to the angels. Because Chanukah is so similar to Shavuos, in that we got the Torah back. We got our ability to learn Torah and we got our ability to perform mitzvos. V'hinei l'zecher zeh. Sheyomim ha'elu hu ke'ein esinas ha'Torah. Chanukah is very similar to Shavuos. Hinei nasa neis gam kein al yedei macholi cholav. That's why God made a miracle, brought out a miracle with Yehudas through something that happened with Milchiks. Shehechila Yehudas as ha'oyev sheratza levatal Torah mi'Yisrael. And that's how she got to cut off his head. I love this last line. Uminag avoseinu torahi. What does that mean? And the custom of our fathers, we keep it just like it would be the Torah, but I think it's poetic here. He's saying the minug is the reason that we got the Torah. So it's like a play on the words. In any case, the raison d'etre of the Yevanim was to nullify or negate our connection to Torah. Our victory, says the Bnei Yisrael, is tantamount to receiving the Torah. So just as we remember the reason that we got the Torah on Shavuos with a milchig meal to commemorate the fact that Avram Avinu set it up so that Moshe would be able to win the Torah for us, Hashem made the nes of Yehudis on Chanukah so that we would understand that we too should have a milchig meal. But the point is not to remember what happened with Yehudis, says the Bnei Yisrael, but to have a milchig meal so we remember what Avram Avinu did. And if you understand that, even if the miracle didn't happen on Chanukah, we asked, why would Chazal take a miracle that happened before, after, or maybe even in a different kolos and all of a sudden celebrate it now? Is because they want us, they tell us, there was a miracle with milchigs. I want you to have milchigs. Now that you're having milchigs, now you should understand why you're having milchigs. It's not because of the miracle per se of what happened with Yehudas, but rather it's because you need to have milchigs to celebrate, commemorate the idea of Kabbalah Satorah on Chanukah. So what do our Chanukah parties look like? So the Ramah said, you can turn it into a 100% Sudas Mitzvah with Shiros and Sishbachos, praising God. Praising God for what? For the fact that he gave us the ability to learn Torah again, from thwarting the Greeks of their goal, from severing our connection to Torah and Mitzvahs. So we thank Hashem for allowing us to perform the Mitzvahs of the Torah. Imagine, if you will, I find it very difficult because Baruch Hashem, I'm an American, and we have religious freedom here. But could you imagine if you stopped and thought about what would happen if we didn't have religious freedom? If there were no shuls, and we weren't allowed to congregate? What about if there were no yeshivas? We weren't allowed to go to yeshiva, and all of our children had to go to public school only. What about if we couldn't give our baby boys a bris milah? What about if they forced us to work on Shabbos? So I find it very difficult to even imagine these things, but that's what life was going to be like. That's what they were going for. In effect, Chanukah was as important as Shavuos. We got the Torah. We got the ability to do all this. So how do we celebrate? So one of my sons-in-law told me, he was in a yeshiva, very well-known yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and it was Chanukah, and one of the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashgiach, walked in, and the Beis Medrash, let's just say, was not as populated as it was when it wasn't Chanukah. And apparently he walked in and he said, "Oi! The Greeks won!" That's what he said. The Chafetz Chaim understands all this and writes in Ma'ar Mokum number 49, "Sheroi Sha'asimcha Tehei Mu'ureves Ublula B'simcha Satorah." The party should have or be about Torah. And then he adds, "Va'al Tevatel Mikviyosecha." And Sidarim, regular Sidarim, the party should not interfere with regular Sidarim. No days off on Chanukah in yeshivas. Okay, that's the Chafetz Chaim, but I'm a Chassidisha. Take a look at Ma'ar Mokum number 50, the Kedushas Levi. Then came she'ikar anes ha'yirak al she'ratzu la'avireinu matirasenu agdosha. The whole thing was that they wanted us to separate from Torah. V'akadosh Baruch Hu barov rachmav hitzileinu migzera zazos. God saved us from this, their ultimate goal. Me'aroi l'chol echad asher b'shem Yisrael Yechuna. Anybody who's called a Jew, losum besichlo, to put into his brain, lahasmid b'torah yisbarach, that there should be more hasmada on Chanukah. Ki heim yomim ru'im lakach. Dahainu, shebechol Chanukah, heichel lohoyer aleinu he'araso yisbarach mitaraso. Go back to that original thing. When did the light of Torah start to show? 3 months after the creation of the world. Chafei Kislev. This is the beginning, the time, this is an auspicious time when Torah came into the world. This is codified in the Aruch HaShulchan. Mikol makom yesh omrim, sheyesh ksas mitzvah laharbos besu'udos. Yes, there is a mitzvah. Aval asochim beklofim, those people who play cards, onshon rav. Uba'avanoseinu harabim nispashta neged tzaras hazeh bebeis Yisrael. This calamity has spread, this disease has spread in Klal Yisrael. Oy lanu she'olse b'yameinu kach. Woe is to us that this has happened in our days. V'kama minei averus tluyus b'zeh. This brings to a lot of averus. V'hu rachum yichaper avon. God should forgive them. U'mi she'b'yachaloso levatla scharo muruba ma'od. If you can stop it, then you get a great reward. Chanukah is a time of chinuch. How we celebrate And what we celebrate tells us what we value. How we celebrate and what we celebrate tells us, ourselves, what's important to us. And how we celebrate and what we celebrate tells our children what we value. And how we celebrate and what we celebrate tells our children what's important to us. The Yetzer Hara is very powerful. His goal is to confuse us, and he's very good. But this year, we can beat him. We can elevate our parties in a certain way. If you just stopped at the party and said to the children, to yourself, let's take some time to imagine what life would have been like if we didn't have religious freedom, if we didn't have the Torah, if we didn't have Shabbos, if you had to go to public school, if you had to go to work on Shabbos, if you couldn't get a bris milah. Think about those things. And then you realize and start appreciating what Hanukkah is all about. We can teach our families what's really important, and that Taka, the Greeks didn't win. And in that merit, we too, just like at the time of Hanukkah, will get back the Beis HaMikdash. We'll get it back. Shiyabona Beis HaMikdash b'mheri b'yameinu, the same chalkeinu b'sarasecha, alichtega Hanukkah tov. I have a little bit of, just a few of those addendums, if anybody is interested.